interesting thing. You know, we have a rule in learning that we like to say, we don't like to say patchwork. So I just an example. It's not really such a good example because it's the Rabban who says, and obviously the Rabban's allowed to say patchwork, but just a good seer. There's a famous kasha. Why did Yosef go ahead and didn't he just tell, why do you have to drive his brothers crazy? Make the brothers bring Binyamin. And then there's another question. Why did he go ahead and put the gevia in Binyamin's, you know, sack? You know, in other words, what was Yosef doing? So the Ramban, interesting, gives two different answers. He says that Yosef wanted to bring Binyamin down because he felt he was obligated to fulfill the dream. The first dream was that the 11 brothers will bow down to him without his father. And the second dream was with the 11 brothers with the father. So he felt he had to have all 11 brothers, including Binyamin, to bow down to him. So that's why he, without Yaakov. If he would have told him that he's Yosef, then Yaakov would have come. So it wouldn't have worked the first dream. So he felt obligated. He felt there was a chiyuv on him to make the first dream come true. And then he asked the kasha, so why did he put the kaviya in the amtachas Binyamin? He says that was very completely different, because for a different reason, that once he made the brothers bring down Binyamin, then he didn't trust them with Binyamin. So he wanted to protect Binyamin and keep him in Mitzrayim, you know, or to test them to see if they could be trusted with Binyamin. So a little bit, I'm not saying chas v'sham, I'm not saying anything against the Ramban, but it's an example of what we would call patchwork. Now, there's two different questions. Why did Yosef do what he did? And he has two different answers. One is because he wanted to fulfill the dream. And two is he wanted to protect Binyamin. So I just saw it interesting in the Sefer Megillah Mukos, which is an early Sefer, 1500s, 1600s, I don't know, it's pretty early. So he says one answer to both questions. Very nice answer. He says that Yosef felt bad for the brothers. The brothers did an Aveira. And the brothers, there's a chait, they sold Yosef. It's a tremendous Aveira. Right? They were later punished. So he wanted to help them to do tshuva. So there's a concept in the Svarim that there's a thing called tikkun, which is a very interesting concept. People that tshuva, that if you do something which does the opposite of the Aveira, then you don't need as much tshuva. Now that if you make a Chiddush Hashem, so tshuva is you do tshuva on the Chiddush Hashem. But if you do a Kiddush Hashem, you know, that's not tshuva, but that's mechap, that makes it mechaper to some extent because you undid the negative. It made it much easier to do tshuva because you, it's like the Heshev, it's like Zayda. So he says he wanted the brothers to do a tikkun on the Aveira of selling Yosef. So the tikkun of the Aveira of selling Yosef was saving Binyamin from being sold. So the whole thing from beginning to end was that Yosef was doing a chesed to his brothers, that his brothers could have a tikkun for the chait of Mechiras Yosef. I thought that was very a nice pshat. And it's a nice hashkafa too, the concept of a tikkun. That you can.
You're allowed to be mitzara person terribly. Put Shimon to jail for 2 years.
Yes.
Et cetera, in order to create a tikkun.
He's doing it for his own good. He's doing it for his own good so that they should get kapara.
It's like a father hitting a child for his own good.
For his own good, but the whole concept of tikkun we don't talk about too much. You know, Svarim talk about tshuva, but they don't usually talk about this idea of tikkun. You've seen in some Svarim they talk about it.
The kun is zayar.
Yeah, it's in the zayar. Okay, who's a puck in the zayar? So if you're doing aveira, besides doing tshuva, you're supposed to try and find a way of doing the opposite.
Now Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't say this?
Could be. I'm not familiar, to tell you the truth. If he says
it. We talk about sponge cake and al-chaim.
What?
They call it making a tikkun for someone. They bring some sponge cake and
No. That's not what we're talking about, tikkun. We're talking about that if you start, if you made a chiddush Hashem, you do a kiddush Hashem. You do the opposite of what you, the Aveira. If you cause someone to go off the Derech, then you're carrying someone else to be on the Derech. You know, you try and figure out the, if you spoke Lashon Hara, you speak good about a person. You know, you do the opposite of what the Aveira was.
So the I missed opposite the first part, of the
same person.
Who was the Rosh Hashiva who said this?
What?
Who was the author who said this?
The Megada Amukas. Is there, I think the 1500s. Oh, it might be the 1600s. Wow.
We pretty don't early do cipher.
Right?
I think it's 1600.
Okay, that'd be the 1600s. He's definitely early.
We don't try to do a tikkun for other people. That we definitely don't. Do,
okay, right? But the mice, at least for yourself, that the concept, I think it's just a nice concept. That there's such a concept, and it's a hisiris. And if you did an Aveira, you're Mechado Shabbos, so you do more covet Shabbos. You know, you do a better job, a cover job. When I've been in prison, it's an inspiration. I find the prison an inspiration because there's a lot of avers that I've done in my life and many things that I feel very bad about. I don't know about anyone else, but I have my list. So tshuva, okay, you obviously have to try and do tshuva. So everything you say, but this is a whole different dimension that, okay, tshuva is sometimes hard, but you can try and find a way of doing the opposite, being misaken, try and figure out what the essence of that Avera was. And if there's a way of doing the opposite, so then you're at least being misaken the Avera, which is, I think, easier than, for many people, it's easier than tshuva. Tshuva is charata wa'avar, it's being kapoaz, and not always so easy, that real charata. But tikkun, you did it tikkun.
And tikkun doesn't replace tshuva. No one's arguing.
I didn't say it replaces tshuva. I was very careful. I wouldn't say that. I said, but it makes it easier.
I mean, you shouldn't like feel like, oh, okay, at least I did a tikkun.
Okay, yes. But it makes it easier. First of all, I'm not sure. Maybe tikkun by itself does something.
I mean,
you shouldn't now feel like, okay, at least I did a tikkun. Like I'm saying, like.
But it makes it. It definitely, you know, we have different levels of tshuva. The assumption is that by most people, we don't have 100% tshuva, but we have 5% tshuva, 10% tshuva, 75% tshuva, depending on the person.
As far as having violated the word of God, your tshuva on that is not saved because you made a tikkun.
But you see that the Megada Amukha says that this is a valid form of tikkun, and you have it in the other svarim too. The famous Keser Rush that says that a person who is over on Zeravatawa, he should learn Torah. They learned that also as a din in tikkun. That's not a get it.
I understand. All I'm trying to say is a person's ikar yachas to tshuva b'pshita should be about the fact that he was over on the Dvar Hashem.
Okay, but Amaisa, I still think, listen, this is. Who said it's in the Kabbalah Svarim? But it's in the Alana Svarim. It makes it, listen, we need all the tricks we can get. So here we have a trick. Obviously, those are going to have to do this.
The lowest
brothers do tshuva. Tshuva works without tikkun. Out of a marriage, you can't do tikkun for it. Let's say Yosef wouldn't have done this. So what would the brothers have to do? They would have an opportunity to do tikkun, and they would just have to do tshuva. But Yosef, apparently, according to the Megada Amukha, Yosef felt that's hard. To expect the brothers to do full tshuva is very difficult. And therefore, to help his brothers, he said he gave them an opportunity to do tikkun. And now, whether they're doing half a tshuva, three-quarters of the tshuva, I don't know what percentage, that tshuva will more likely work. So
why was that Surya Ragi Malchus then? If they did tikkun, they tshuva.
Okay, I found it again. It's still, you know, imagine what it would have been without the tshuva.
But Rabbi, I do think in the Kabbalah Svarim, the Kunei Zayar and so forth, it is also an aspect of fixing up the veld, something with the veld, the fixing up the world, whatever the...
that's part of the tikkun, because Averis have Averis are mitame the world. So you want to be mikavish the world. You want to undo the... It's the same idea. You want to undo the harm. So an Avera is not... Just say an Aveira has harmed the world. brings a Ruach HaTumah to the world. So you have to bring a Ruach HaKadosh. But it's just, in the Maisa, I think it's a very nice, to me, it's,
yum, yum, you're love, loved.
You don't have to like it, you don't have to like it. But to me, it was an inspiration because I feel like, okay, now let me go think about all the Averis I did and let me see if I can figure out a tikkun. Because it can make it easier to get tshuva, a little easier.
The Shmir Shalsko Chassel writes that he was escaping from the Nazis. If I don't remember, if I remember correctly, and he had to be Michal Shabbos, probably Ba'onis, maybe Ba'onis even. But he said that it was so disruptive to his mindset that he wrote the Sefer for a tikkun.
Okay, but how about that should be our... Our biggest Avera.
Just tell you what he said.
Okay, let's go learn. The mice, I never heard that she would talk about tikkun. Even sponge cake and schnapps, I didn't hear that either. But I didn't ever hear him talk about it. But I still think if it's in the Sfarim, it probably works. So it is a good thing to know.
The Lachas Sfarim are against that kind of tikkun.
What?
The Lachas Sfarim are against that kind of tikkun.
Yeah, okay. But it's also, I was making a joke, but it's a nice thing to know. It's a nice chat. And why? Because everyone is bothered by this question. What was Yosef, this whole thing? Like, what in the world is he up to? It's a very nice chat to make out of it because he was trying to help the brothers get kapara.
Well, what's the chat? The tikkun is they could have sold him by letting him be captive?
They went ahead and they hurt, they sold their brother into slavery. Right, that's what they did. So now they're saving their brother from slavery. They're saving Binyamin from slavery. So their mom is doing the exact opposite of what they did. They went in and sold Yosef al piderech hateva should not have gone to slavery, if not for them. And they made Yosef go to slavery. Now here, Pumfakir, Binyamin al piderech hateva should go to slavery. And because of their effort, they're making that he shouldn't go to slavery. So they're doing the exact opposite of the Avera that they did. That's exactly like you do.
Even more so, Yehuda said, take me instead.
What?
Yehuda did the ultimate. He said, take me instead.
Right, but I'm saying, but the idea was that he's doing the exact opposite of what he did with Yosef. So that's, he says, and Megad Amukah says that was a tremendous tikkun. And it went ahead and watered down the Avera. I assume the Kasha from Aser Malkus, you know, that was for Maisa was a tremendous chusa. You know, it wasn't like such a, I don't want to say it wasn't a terrible thing, but Maisa was, it's not sound like they died on their deathbed. You know, they died with Kiddush Hashem and Pedoyrit. A different type of.
But
you know,
the lesson of the. Of
I mean,
the
as far as
the Kiddush. The lesson of Matzer doesn't seem to be that this is the final touch. For the kapara, it seems to be because there was a desecration to the Ba'achim Yosef, you have to suffer.
Okay. But they also did some level of tshuva too. So.
Maybe the ticket only helped Lagabi Benad and Lamokim because the famous Ibn Bechaya that is because Yosef was Michael. That's the famous Ibn Bechaya. They were Michael. So maybe Benad and Chavera didn't help.
Okay. I don't know. Okay, let's learn here a little bit. I was just trying to set a nice Megadah Mukus. We don't usually read Megadah Mukus. I don't know if you people ever read the Sefer. It's a very, very hard Sefer to read. Almost impossible. So I don't know. I happened to read a piece. I actually understood what he was saying. I was so excited. It's a very, very difficult Sefer. Okay. Let's see. So we're starting that Vavam and Aleph. So this is a famous, those who remember, this is the famous sugya of Tokfot Kohen. It starts. The biggest problem in Tokfot Kohen, my recollection, is if you take, it's like a blot and a half of Gemara. If you take each sugya separately, it reads beautifully. There's around three or four sugyas, maybe less, and each one reads very nicely. The problem is that one line, that once each sugya contradicts the other sugya. So figuring out the Hemshach, from one sugya to the next sugya, you know, that gets very difficult. But so right now we're just picking in the first sugya of Tokfot Kohen. So, boy, Rebbe Zeira, right? Rebbe Zeira is, we said it's Rebbe, I'm pretty sure. It's Rebbe Zeira. So boy, Rabbi Zaira, talk v'achad b'faneinu, what's it did if shnayim oichlim italics? Zehomer, let's see Rashi. Talk v'achad, hotziya miyad chavero b'chazaka. V'are kulo b'yada, kol dem shenishbo. So right away, why does Rashi say it has to be kol dem shenishbo? Obviously, if it would be Acher Shenishbo, it would be a different din. Why should it be a different din? The Chayra, where the Gemara explains, I don't know if you people read the Gemara, so let me read the next line of the Gemara so we should see it. Hey, Chidami, Ida Ashtik, if he kept quiet, so Chita, oh, the other day, so does bound it. Ida Gosavach, Mahabedem Evet, if he screams, so it's nothing. This line of the Gemara is very strange. Either called Savak Mahabed Mavid. Why is this very strange? Anyone remember?
What's Michael Alvarayim?
Well, okay. But apparently, because he got it, he grabbed it, the Isser, so we don't say Moshe Alvarayim. But that's.
But that's not the Isser.
That, well, it's sort of the Isser. He grabbed it. He just grabbed it. But that's Gupa, the whole Shaila later of the Gemara of Takfa Kohen. In other words, the famous Shaila of Takfa Kohen, Motsim Oso Miyado, Emotsim Miyado, is that Kohen goes ahead and there's a Safek Bechor, and we don't know whether it belongs to the Kohen or to Israel, and the Kohen grabs it. Bifaneinu, Takfa Kohen, we have no Safek that the guy grabbed it, and the Gemara Safek is a Muksik, which comes about through a grabbing, does that have a halachic din muksik? That's Gupa the subject of the Gemara. That's the main sugya of Takfa Kohen. And here,
it's not necessarily the same thing.
Same case where the guy grabs it b'faneinu, and the Gemara seems to say is a davar pashut. Whereas that can't even be Rav Zeira's abaye because it's so pashut. What's why it's pashut? The Gemara later. Kufa brings a giant machlekes achreinim. I mean, achreinim. Whether it's talk about going about CM or emotziim, it's the most. That's the biggest machle. Not a bigger, but it's such a giant machlekes. So, the Gemara here, pashtus, is what I was saying as introduction. This line of this Gemara is contradicts the whole Gemara later. The whole Gemara later says.
Are we talking about Shnayim Oichsen? Are we talking about Shnayim Oichsen?
So we thought it's Shnayim Oichsen Talis, and then one guy grabbed it. So the Gemara says, eat the tzavach, so it's nothing. So what the guy.
When did the Anan Sahadi start, or when did it end? I mean, where's my Anan Sahadis?
But I don't know. There's Anan Sahadi, doesn't, Parship Shot doesn't really mean Anan Sahadi Torah. We know what happened. It's Anan Sahadi.
Halukami din Vadan, Halukami din Safik.
The same Tukfa Kohen, the Kohen also has that same Anan Sadi Pashtas.
No, it was whatever, born, you know, he was born in his Rishus. There's no Anan Sadi.
Here we know the guy got it because he ran to find it. There's no.
Right, so it's a Mitzvah. He's allowed to pick it up.
Whatever Anan Sadi we have over here, because the Anan Sadi is based on whatever it's based on, because it's a Dim Muksik. Pashas, yeah, by Takfa Kohen also. Okay, and I don't really want to get into it. When they're just looking at Takfa Kohen, but I just point out this line is a very strange line. Where is this?
On the Mishnah, he said, did he say Kula Shali yet?
Each guy says Kula Shali.
So if he said Kula Shali, what's the Odi way? I said Kula Shali.
No, now you're Shasak.
I'm shushing. I have to shout up and down all day and all night.
Yes, that's what the Gemara says. I'd hate to argue with you. Gemara said the Farish. He did shushing.
So maybe it's before he said Kula Shali. Maybe he just grabbed it and grabbed it back.
No, I don't believe.
Obviously not, because Rashi didn't say before he said Kula Shali. Rashi said before he sweared. So I'm asking why, if he said Kula Shali, is that not enough?
Okay, but apparently it's not, because that was yesterday you said Kula Shali. That was an hour ago. But now that you are Shasak, so you're Oida Oidere. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Why is this a hard Sfara? Like, the fact that you the fact that he's grabbed it away from you and you don't say anything is a new statement on your part that's revealing as, like, no, isn't that the idea? Okay. The fact that you don't say anything is a...
I'm agreeable. I mean, let's go back to the Gemara. So we have like
the Gemara,
a little simple Gemara before we just get to discuss it. So we have the first, let's just get the case. Boy, Rabbi Zeira, talk to Echab of Anenu. Well, one person grabbed it, two people holding a talis, and one person grabs it. Hey, if he dummy, eat the Shaw socks. If the second guy keeps quiet, he does it. So it's Odor's Baldin. No, does bound in Kameya Aiden Pashtas, and therefore we give it to the person who grabbed it. E the Tzavach, Mahavlein Amevit. There's nothing the guy could have done, and therefore the Gemara takes on that we still say Yachleiku. So I'm asking a question that I say that seems to this not why can't you have it sad that this a subject that maybe he wins because he's Muksik. But the Gemara Pashtas assumes that the Muksik doesn't help. Let's keep on keeping. Let me just keep the Gemara, and then we can listen to it. He's talking about it anyway. So the Tzricha, the Shasak may carve a other Tzava. So the case of Rabbi Zeira is a boy, is that first few minutes he was Shasak, and then when he saw that nothing happened, so then other Tzava. My, me the Shasak. Do we say that listen, he was Shasak for a while? That means he made a hold up. Now he's Sabach, it's too late. Once you make all doors bow, then you can't take it back. Oh, Dilma, Kivin de Kot Sabach Hashta, Igloy Milza, died the Shot the Mekara, Sabach Gachoser Abana. In other words, normally we see a person quiet, we assume it's held up. But here, since he was Sabach later, so that Sabach later makes us think that maybe he was Shasak because he figured the Rabbana would let him get away with it. And that's why he kept quiet. And now that the person, Rabbana, didn't do anything, so that's why he's Sava. So, Boshab Shat, this is a very unlumnish Gemara, which is obviously not true, but is that this is a Shafek in human psychology. In the human psychology, when a person is shasak achar kach savach, did he mean to make a holda or didn't he mean to make a holda? Right? No lum this here. This is not a this shaila, according to the way the Gemara seems to be saying it, is a shaila. And what was the guy thinking? What do we assume the guy was thinking? Was he thinking he would make a holda, or wasn't he thinking he wants to make a holda?
Let's say Taka says he was trying to make a hodah. He was. And then he changed his mind. He says, Taka, I realized.
Once you make a hodah, you can't change your mind.
In Bezin, I can. You can leave yet. Sure, I can.
No, Hodah's Baldin Kameh.
Yes, you can't. Right. It's like, I can't be Chayzer or Magus. You can't change your
mind.
In
Bezin, you can be Chayzer or Magus. Only once you leave.
I don't know. Whatever it is, it's after the shir. We'll have to look up when you hilchas he can be chayzer or maggid. But the case here is that he can no longer be chayzer or maggid. If he made a hodah, he cannot be chayzer or maggid. So the shaila is: do we say that he made a hodah, or don't we say he made a hodah? Sounds like
when is this whole? Aren't there some rishonim we learn it's only while they're struggling? He has to be tzaveach while it's still in his hands, beginning of his hands, the end of his hands. But once the guy grabbed it and he shasak even for 2 seconds, you're done.
Okay. I don't know.
Rashi says that he was shasak before taking a shavua. Right. Sounds like it could be minutes, could be an hour before he takes a shavua.
Not necessary. Rashi just means that afuke, that it could be the shavua could have been earlier. Rashi, you know, the Parshat Shana in the Mishnah, it could be Rashi just telling you that the Shua didn't take place already. That's no.
Right. So, of course, if it's immediately after the struggle, let's push it. He's saying, Kodim Shinishbo, Mashma, you're going to take a Shua a half an hour later. So, for half an hour, the guy was quiet and then he was Saveh before the Shua.
I don't know. I'm not familiar. Pashup Shad is not like you're saying because Pashup Shad, this is in front of Bezin. Right, the Gemara says, Mabe, they're in front of Bezin. Talk to Echad Befaneinu.
Right, so he could be quiet for quite a while.
The Taoist wasn't Befaneinu. Right. the two people saw Taoist in the street and they went both running for it. Then they came and to Bezin holding the Taoist. That could have been an hour after they found the Taoist. They had to go to Bezin. And they're both walking to Bezin holding the Taoist. And then one guy grabbed it. So Rashi said that the whole Shaila is that one guy grabbed it. Koydim Shanishba.
What does the first part of Rashi mean?
What?
Where's the first part of Rashi? The word says Takfa. Rashi Hotziu Bechazaka. What was Chazaka? Hotziu. One guy leaves go.
He overpowered the other guy. The other guy didn't let him have it.
One guy lets go. I'm saying Rashi's setting up dargas. It has to be the chazaka. It has to be.
If the other guy would have just let go, that would be also probably a hold up.
So why is Rashi?
It's even chazaka.
Why is Rashi setting it up as takfa bechazaka?
Okay, I don't know. I think that just might mean to make it clear that he grabbed it. Otherwise, you would think that the other guy let go. So he see him yad chavero, not because he let go, but because I did it b'chazaka.
If he let go, be a different halacha.
I would assume so. If he let go, that would be that itself is a hodas baldin. Why are you leaving go and let the other guy take it? Two people holding the towers.
And so Bezdin now is going to pass in it. That's why.
So why are you leaving go? I would sound like from Rashi that would be a hodah.
Maybe it's only if it's because it's a chazaka, so it requires a response. It's like it shows that I have bilus. If you don't respond to a chazaka, then you're being moda.
Oh. But I can't say for sure, but the word chazaka means from the word strength.
Absolutely.
With strength.
It should be pronounced b'chazka, and it means strength. It absolutely means strength.
I think that's what I'm saying, though. Right. Because it was with strength, so that shows that requires a response.
It warrants it, yeah. Very good.
And what? And if it would have been without strength, it wouldn't require a response.
Because now Bezin's deciding it. Bezin's deciding it. And I don't have to hold it the whole time. I'm sitting in front of Bezin.
I don't know. You're saying just the opposite of me. Boy, oh boy. And you're saying that Louis Stern, the other thing, I'm saying if the guy grabbed it, not the strength, then it's a double portion, it's all done. And you're saying that if he grabbed it without strength, it's not it's not a hold up. Right? That's what's coming out. I just want to get our machloika straight.
Why is it warranted? Doesn't warrant it. If I walk in front of the best, then I
don't know. Let me first make sure. Is that what you're saying, Dr. Gardner?
I'm not sure what I heard that it's definitely different. I'm not sure what Rebbe was saying.
The question is like this: Rashi says the case is bechazek. He took a grabbed it bechazaka. However you pronounce the word, I'm not a grammar person. I apologize. So Rashi said that he grabbed it bechazaka with a strength. But so the question is, what would have happened if the reason why he was able to grab it? And because the other person let go. So I assume that in that case, there'll be no shaita because for sure it's a hoda. And I thought you were saying, and then Shmuel was saying that no, that's just the opposite. If he let go, then there's no side of hoda. Because the only reason why you have to answer is because the guy grabbed it with strength. But if he just died, I let go because I'm getting tired of holding it, whatever. So then the fact that he then there's no, there is no side of Hoda. That's, so it's the complete opposite of what I was saying, which doesn't mean it's not right. You know, just interesting.
You can make an in-between too, right?
That's the thing. I thought maybe he was saying in between. Like there's one thing to let go, and then there's nothing just to not hold on so hard, I guess.
Okay. But then that would be also grabbing the chayzek, the chazaka. He's not holding so hard. So how the other guy get it? So he had to grab it out of him. So that would still call that they grabbed it with strength because I was still holding it. But
what would Rebbe say in that case? Would that be more reason to say
the same thing? It'd be the same thing because that means that I was holding it, and the only reason why he got it is because he used some force to pull it out of my hands. So that's,
I thought Rebbe was saying that.
Same case.
That the fact that I thought Rebbe was saying the fact that I let go was a hodah. This is not letting go. He's just not holding it so hard.
Then it would be a different. That's not the case of the Gemara. If he let go, I think it's not the case of the Gemara. Then that's a hodah. The case of the Gemara, if he didn't let go, now maybe he's holding it a little bit. Less strength, more strength, that doesn't make any difference. And now came along the other guy and he pulled it out of his hands. So that's the case of the Gemara. That's how I learned.
I was suggesting maybe that they're the same, but Rashi's trying to say even when it was a grabbing, because you could say no. If the guy let you take it, maybe it's not a hodah, but it's a tfisa. He becomes the mosik. But a grabbing, a tfisa with a grabbing is not a mosik. So Rashi's trying to say that. Maybe Rashi's kiddush is when it was, but even b'chazaka, potentially he still becomes the muktzah.
Okay, but the
Gemara is the same. Working, even that case,
the Gemara is not working house muktzah. Whatever, the Gemara is working out hodah. The Gemara is working out hodah. The difference is hodah is even kinegan meya edim. So
The Gemara tries to say that potentially edim works. That's not so punchy. Gemara brings right from the Mishnah. The Gemara
says, I know that.
Rebbe, I just to clarify, the Gemara says, "My havalila meibar," and saying the idea of saying that this that if the guy would just let the other guy grab it, and saying that then there's no my havalila meibar, and saying then on the contrary, you should have never let him grab it in the first place. And,
so you're agreeing with me.
It seems the idea of letting the guy have it is schwer. And the only reason why you're letting him have it, this point not held against you, is because my havalimi. But if you're not holding, if it's not the chazaka, you just kind of let it go. There is a question of you should have done something.
Okay, so but I think I agree with you. Okay, anyway, so let's go further because we got a lot of this is the full Gemara. So Rashi says again. Rashi says the case is that he didn't swear yet. So the question is, why does Rashi assume that? The Gemara Safek, the way we read the Gemara Safek is, did you or did you not make a Hodah? Now, the Chayra, if the guy would have sworn and then he made a Hodah, right, what would be the din? What if the guy actually swore? They come to Bezin, they swear Chatzis Shari, and then the guy's walking out of Bezin and says, you know what? I decided, I thought about it, I want to make a hodah is bowed in, and really the whole Taoist is yours. So I assume hodah is bowed in, the hodah is not limited only before Shua.
But after Shua, it's not a hodah anymore.
Wait, 1 second. Let me just reset the question. So since the Gemara is a boy, is that maybe this is considered a hodah, so Pasha is a Gemara should have the boy. So why does Rashi, without any hechrof, Rashi on his own, I don't see any hechrof in the Gemara, Rashi sticks his neck out and says that we're talking about a case called him Shenishbu. Yeah, okay.
After Shvua, would that be mistaber to come and say that this is an indication of Hodah? True that if it's Hodah, it would work. But to come and say that this indicates Hodah after an act of Shvua, it's not that would not be mistaber. It would not be a tzad.
Why is that so?
Because there's no. You don't feel compelled to defend yourself after Shvua.
The guy died in Kula Shani.
The guy swore the name of Hashem.
A person doesn't feel compelled to defend his integrity after he swore.
I'm saying the idea of swearing that there's no less than half than yours that are we're going to say it's pashut. The Gemara would say it's pashut that his silence is a Hodah. That's not. There's nothing pashut about such a thing.
Okay, but I hear. So you're saying that Rashi is just saying that we wouldn't assume that's a hodah in the shua. Okay, but it's a little funny. Like, where in the world does Rashi get that from? It's like, you know what I say? It's like a star and I could say that it is a hodah. Even after the shua, the person had a change of heart. He thought about it. He realized the truth. He played it over in his brain, and he realized that he made a mistake. People make mistakes.
A person doesn't feel the same. It's something that Rebbe himself to defend himself.
Rashi, without any hechrach, without any motivation, he makes up a swara that you can't say hodah. If you can't say that that's a hodah, if there's a shvua.
Rebbe, before the
Gemara itself doesn't give any implication that the fact that they made an oath was relevant. Rashi may hold that the law for the Gemara to consider a shaila of hodah when the person was, but they already were nishbu, and then not to enter into the equation as to whether or not that you're interpreting his silence.
I understand, but it's very strange. Two things. First of all, how does Rashi know? He just smoked a cigar and he figured that out. And second of all, why does Rashi tell it to you? Is there anything shver with the Gemara that Rashi had a need to tell us to me?
It's shver in the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara seems to be saying revolves around Hodah. Yeah, for what reason would the Gemara be mocked their Hodah if he already swore?
So you're saying that Rashi held that this is such a strong swara that Rashi was bothered by Akasha. What's the Gemara asking in a boy? That Rashi felt the reader would read the case even after the Shua. And Rashi says, oh, you're going to get stuck by Akasha. It makes no sense. It's not logical. So says Rashi, don't worry, don't make a mistake, because that's not the case.
I would
think that there's more to it.
Once a person takes a shul, he's at least going to feel that he's in the same position now as somebody stop walks based and holding something without any subject and someone just grabs it from him. He doesn't have the same hechrach that he has to defend himself. It's like now they took a shvur already, so that's the psak, and that's it. It's the same now with mamash mind. So, the same way you never say a stam person, you could just grab something and say, oh, he didn't say anything, now it's a raya against. You never say a stam person that comes from that.
Then ask him, yet it's it.
But he took a shvur. Once he takes a shvur, he feels like that. And he's not, the person is not going to feel compelled to defend his shvur. The shvur is his statement. So I just took a shvur, but shame, a shvur shav is a tremendous, such an issue that we start the even. Hardcore Gazala maybe like scared off the Shura Shavs. The person took a Shura. That is my statement. He doesn't feel compelled to defend himself after. That's Pashat. Like, why
you're saying two separate things. Your first thing that you were saying was that once he swears, all the prerequisites that he should be entitled to half the tallest have been fulfilled. So, I mean, the din, at that stage, arguably the din's nifsuk that you have.
Well, even if it's not lipstickly, it feels like
okay.
It is.
Okay,
for the sake of keeping everybody on board, so we have three different pshatim floating around here, even though we only said two, but we have three. So the first pshat the guys wanted to say was that psychologically, we would never assume that a person is made that once he makes a shua. It's a din in the gavra. It's a din in human nature of people. That you have a suffix, maybe the guy was made. You wouldn't clear. It's like knowing people, once a person was so committed that he made a shua, mistami wouldn't be made. That was the first shot. I think that was what Sandy said, maybe other people said. Second shot that Aaron Hertzberg is saying is that it's not because psychologically, because the guy was so committed. The guy's so committed to swear, he wouldn't make a shua, because once there's a shua, there's a din chaluka. So once there's a din chaluka, he doesn't feel the need to defend himself, because it's considered mine. So it's not because he's such a, we don't, there's, see, the first try was that a person doesn't change so much. A person doesn't go from one extreme to the other. The second shot has nothing to do with that. It's that there's no, the reason why when someone grabs something from you, the reason why there's a motivation for you to say something is because you have to defend yourself. But once it's chaluka, you don't feel any need to defend yourself. You're like, Simon, guy's a nut. So I don't have to defend myself. It's like a guy breaks into my house and he walks off of my television or whatever else he walks off with, right? So I don't feel the need to say anything because everyone knows he's a ganav. I have to go ahead and waste my vocal cords. It's obvious, right? That was Aaron Hertzberg's shot. And I said a third shot, but I didn't say it yet. I said that Rashi in Daf Beis, Shita is very, very clear that Shrua is a beerer. Rashi says that Beferish in the Mishnah, that Shrua is not just a Dakana Drabana, But Shrua is a positive beer. So maybe Pshat and Rashi is, like someone quoted, you know, I don't remember who said it. I apologize. That even after the Huldah, we see from the Braisa later that a Raya helps. So that Rashi would hold that the Shrua is a Raya. So who cares if he made a hold, if it's considered a Huldah? But we have, if the Shrua is a Raya, then however Pshat later on the Gemara, then because the Gemara clearly seems, says later that even if you consider it a Huldah, but if you bring witness a Raya, then we don't follow the Huldah. It's a Shvira Gemara, but the Gemara says that, whatever the Hezber is. So Rashi will hold that the Shrua is also a is Raya. So once Shrua is a Raya, so what does it make a difference if it's Huldah? That'd be Huldah, but you bought a Raya. The Raya, it's Bezin accepted as a Raya. And it's not like the guys were saying because it's psychological about the Gavra, the guy wouldn't be Maida. It's that it's a din in Bezin. Since Bezin have a Raya, so the Raya slugs up the Huldah. So
why can't the guy come and say, let me swear? Meaning outside that it's a Huldah, let the guy come and say, that's not a Huldah, I'm willing to swear.
Okay, I don't know whether the guy's allowed to do it. Once there's a Huldah, then the Shayla is paskin. I don't know if we're allowed to, there's a takana to go swear. But if he swore...
Well, one of the Mefarshim say that it's not a Huldah, but it's the Shayla is whether it's somehow saying I'm not going to swear?
What?
What if one of the Mefarshim learned that the Shayla Huldah is meaning it's a guy coming, it's as if he said to Bezin, I'm not going to swear. So okay. Then he can't swear if he said I'm not going to swear.
Maybe, but I definitely that's not the mainstream. You know, you see in the Gra is learning that it's a real Huldah. So in the quotes of Ritva, I mean, there might be people that learn that way. So I don't know whether we want to go ahead and make Rashi. I mean, it could be to such Rishonim.
I think they say a Katsais or something like that.
Okay, it could be. But I'm saying that's not the, most people don't learn that way. Could very well be that was excises chap. That's you know to answer the Gemara later. Why there's not because there's a problem in the Gemara later, which we didn't get to. And obviously, we're not going to get to the thing is that if it's a Huldah, why does Adim help? Why does Bira help? So that's probably weird with what he's coming to answer. He's saying it's not a real Huldah. Okay, but you see in the Gra learns it is a real Huldah.
Did we say a third shot yet? We still only holding by two.
What?
Did we say a third shot yet? Are we still holding by the two?
No, we said three.
What's the third shot?
The first shot was psychological. The whole topic is maybe he meant to make a hold up. So then in the human psychology.
Right. So and he makes it sure he's not going to.
The guy is so committed that he swore. It's doubtful that in human psychology that he would change so much on his diet.
The second one is Din Chalukah.
The second one was Aaron Hertzberg is that the motive, the reason why it's a Huldah is because human nature is when someone grabs your thing, when it's still in Suffolk, you would say something. But once it's decided already, then you don't feel the need to say something because it's so obvious that it's Geneva. I don't have to make, I only have the need to say something if there's still room for a Suffolk. Bezin hasn't reached a final conclusion. But once it's obvious, I don't need to say. Aaron Erzberg was saying that once there's a Shrua, then there's an automatic Sak Bezin. So there's no need for me to say anything because everyone knows I'm right.
Just like if it's something's in my property and someone starts claiming it's his, I don't have to say anything. It's my property. Right. You leave me alone.
Why does Rashi say Shrua?
That's what I'm saying. Let's say a guy walks into your property and starts walking off with some of your stuff. So if you keep quiet, is that a hold up?
Why
it's not a Huldah because it's so obvious. I don't have to say anything. Okay, that was chat number two. Chat number three is not that the person's doing the Gavra. A person would be motivated to protest. And the fact that he didn't protest could be a Huldah. Not like either of those two pshatim. Except that Huldah loses. You see in the Gemara later, that Huldah loses to a beaver. even though normally Hodah doesn't lose to a Birur, but this Hodah, it says in the Gemara later, loses to a Birur. So the Shua, according to Rashi, is a halachic Birur. So since the Shua, since you see in the Gemara later that this Hodah loses to a Birur, which is very, very strange, and that's where all the tumult is, but that's what you see in the Gemara later, that this is a different type of Hodah. Whatever reason, this Hodah, the Shtika Hodah, loses to a Birur. So Rashi holds, even to the Birur of Shvuah, it would lose.
One second. It beats out Adim, but it loses to Birur of
Shvuah. No, no. Hodah's Baldin beats out Adim. But this Hodah, which comes about through Shtika, the Achrayim, that after many Rishayim say, at least by the case of Shazak Raka Gaksava, that it would lose to Adim. Even though normal Hodah Baldin beats Adim, but this Hodah's Baldin loses to Adim. Why? Manishtana Hodah's Baldin Zoom may call Hodah's Baldin. That's one of the gigantic sugya here.
Rashi can't be talking about after the Hadr Savach because Rashi goes on the earlier step.
No, he could be going on the Maskana. The Gemara says that Rav Zeira Safek is Shazak Raka Gatsavak. So it could be he's going
on. But Rashi's not going on that step.
Well, yes, he is. He's going on what Rav Zeira really meant. It's by Rav Zeira.
Chakva Echad. It's
him, Yad Zavir. It means Shazak Raka Gatsavak.
So then he should go on that step. He should go on that step then.
Okay, I don't know if that's such a gosh. He's telling you where Rav Zeira goes. And some people say it even in the case of Shazak. We'll see. It's a whole tumult. But there may be Rashi holds that in our Gemara, for some reason, and this is one of the pleas in our Gemara, but the Gemara seems to say clearly that that's where we get into this Gra and the Gemara. That the Gemara says later that Muslim Chaveh of a Raya, that Raya does help. So Rashi maybe holds that even a Raya of a Shrua would help here, because Shrua is also a Raya. So you need the Raya of Adim. If you want to be Maitzi from a Muksik, you need a Raya of Adim. But here, if you're just being Maitzi from this week Odah, so maybe Rashi holds that even the Raya of Shrua is good enough. Okay, so that was chat number three.
Just on two. Why does Rashi say "Vahari kula b'yadi kaidim shenishbu"? Shouldn't it say "kaidim she bezin paskins"? That it's.
He's saying that the Aaron Herzberg was saying that once it's nishbu, there's an automatic sakdin. So that's tantamount. That's Rashi saying automatic sakdin. The Havana is because once it's nishbu, it's an automatic sakdin. Because bezin tell you swear and it'll be yours. So
that's how it works. That's how it works.
I know. That's what he made up.
It's not a process. It's a process. No.
Even if you're technically right, it's still a person could still psychologically feel like at that point he's in the same position, because everyone knows that the person that the idea of being a shvu is that the psak will then they basically just gonna pass him like however the shvu works out.
Okay.
So just because basically didn't formally like pound the gavel yet doesn't make like a.
Okay, in other words, but the difference, I hope you be real, they're very different. Aaron Hertzman shot and Sandy shot were shots in psychology, that a guy would never be made in such a situation, either because once he's so committed or because once he feels he already has it. And I'm saying it's a din. It's not a din in psychology. I like getting away from psychology and moving toward halachic forces that since there's a birur, so the birur of Shua is stronger than the birur of the Hodah. It's not a din in psychology, it's a din in halacha. What happens when you have two conflicting birurim and they fight each other? So that's the best man ends win.
It and that's it. Maybe by Koldom, Gavar, whatever, you're able to keep fighting back and forth. Then the Mishnah came along with a din that says, no, we're holding on to it. The halachah is shnayim b'chazim b'talas yachloiku. It's over once they swear. What's the problem? I don't care.
That's what so sorry much what Aaron Herzberg said, but Parshat Shad is not like that. Once again,
nothing to do with his Hodah.
He's trying to say that
after Bezdin Baskin.
According to Aaron, why does it have to be psychological?
No psychology. There's no psychology in step two. It's over. No psychology. Okay, it means it doesn't mean.
That's what you say. I don't know that. I don't hear that. And that's a of Rachas. You know, you're making
up. We said by Kolom Gavar, a person can keep grabbing it to the end of the thing. Okay. It shows who's stronger. It shows this over here. It's over.
Okay. That you know, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just my biggest kind of is what Shiva used to say. Svara that diamond doesn't. Okay, you're saying a svara that the guy. That the guy wouldn't.
I'm not saying a svara. That's what I'm saying, Rebbe. No svaras. No svara.
That's right. I would say, not like you in svara, that a guy would feel challenging if you grab it after he swears.
Within
Rebbe's structure.
I would say, so what if it's over? Guy grabbed it. It gets me upset.
Rebbe, within Rebbe's structure, the idea that the hodah is not so vada, the high ready to consider. And within Rabbi's structure, who does not so bother to consider a raya to undermine the hodah. Once the person has been nishba, so then the din already is vadai that he gets half. Once the din is that vadai he gets half, then the, maybe that suffix hodah would be insufficient to budge.
Okay. It's the same type of way. You know, there's right. The thing that the shrua somehow or another creates a chaos, which doesn't, not that there's not a, not that it tells us there's no hodah. We have the same hodah as we had before, but that hodah can't work when there's a shrua, because the shrua creates a halachic force. Okay.
Or the psak din creates that it's now vadai half years. And
okay, I hear. Okay, let's go by there because we get to the juicy part of the Gemara. So if maybe if we can, well, let's try and read a little further. So when does our Mishnah say it's thin? That's only if they're both holding it. So then he wins. If it's like it seems to say that the one guy found the talus, the other guy standing on the sidelines and said, I found it, but he's not holding it. So Pshita. So obviously we go Basar Muksik, we go and call it Tarakula, let's go Bamaraya. Ella must be Shatakfa Echa Bifanenu. And the Gra says he means Takfa Echa Bifanenu, but Bishasak Rakakatsava, because otherwise what's the Raya? So it must be Shatakfa Echa Bifanenu, Bishasak Rakatsava. So we have a Raya that the din is, it says, I must go Bamaraya. So we have a raya that's called the hodah. Right? That's the Gemara's raya. Mishnah says, the Brisa says, I'm going to have a raya, which means that you win, that the guy who's holding it wins. The case is, Havamina was, that the case is Shasar Fakar Kaksavach, because that's what the Gra says. I don't know if other people disagree. And so we see that the person with the tokif wins. So the $1 million shy.
Maybe the other guy wins.
What?
Maybe the other guy wins.
No, please. No one would say that the other guy wins. So
why not?
Because it's not logical.
There's a muslik on his half.
That's not called Muslim Evaraya. That's called the Echlaiku. Okay, Muslim Evaraya means that he wins. That's how the Gemara is reading it. So the $1 million in Shina that everybody discusses from here to, you know, Canarsiano, the expression is the Gemara is trying to prove the Aboy. The Aboy is Shasak Akar Kaksavach. Is it Hodah? And they're trying to prove that it is a Hodah. So if it's a Hodah, so how can the Mishnah say, the Brisa say, not Mishnah Brisa, so on the side that it's a hodah, so Adim shouldn't help either. So they go. The brisa minei obey is in stira. That you're learning shan the brisa. That the reason why he wins is because it's a hodah. But it will be a hodah. Then why would what would happen? What does it help if you bring edim? Once you make a hodah, you can't bring edim. Right? That's a million-dollar shayla. Everybody asks that question. Right? You people hear the question.
Which line of the Gemara is it?
Oh.
The Gemara brings a raya from the Braisa. That they want to prove that the Braisa, they want to prove Rav Zeira is Safek. And they say, what's the raya? Because Rav Zeira said, the Braisa says that the person who's holding it wins. A Mozart of Eva Raya, which I learned shot, I think the Gemara is learned shot. He said, the person who's holding it wins. So the question is, why does he win?
He named it Pshita, Elisha Tokvecha Befanenu, that line?
Right. Elisha Befanenu, and the Gross means Tokvecha Befanenu. So Tokvecha Befanenu. And now, and it says in the Brice, it wins. So the Gemara is bringing Uriah to one side of Rav Zeira is a boy. Which side of Rav Zeira is a boy are they proving? They're proving that it's a Hodah. So everyone asks the Kasha, I mean, it's all the Rishonim, Achronim, and everyone in between. That if it's a Hodah, so then how can the Brice say I'm a Raya? If it's a Hodah, you should win even if you have even if the other guy brings a Raya. Because a Hodah is bowed, they can make them dummy. So what in the world, how the Gemara is trying to bring a Raya from the Brice, that it's a Hodah and the Rabba. You see a Raya from the Brice, it's not a Hodah. The Brice is a Raya Pumfakeh. The fact that the Brisa says I'm going to make a Raya proves that it's not a Hodah. Can't be a Hodah. If it's a Hodah, so then you can't bring a Raya. So there's
why can't bring a Raya that you're relying on the Besdin?
Okay, maybe that, but I don't know. That's I guess I didn't think of that reading. I don't know. I didn't think of that reading. Maybe it's hard to bring. How can you bring a Raya to that?
The guy asks his tie-in.
Yes, his what?
His tie-in. His tie-in.
Lawyer.
His lawyer.
Yeah, but he can't bring a Raya to it.
So yes, Aiden did it. So that he said that he told people, he told to Aiden, don't worry, I'm working.
Okay. I'll tell you, I didn't think of that answer.
Is that a good answer? Is that a good answer? Is partial that would work?
I don't know.
But Dos Balden is so powerful.
It might be a good answer.
Why can't Dos Balden not
get anyway, the Maisa. So I'll try and send some Marmikimis tomorrow. There's a Bach on the tour. That's probably the first. You see the grow here, but the first Marmikim is a Bach on the tour. And then there is a Shach.
A Shach, yes, it also.
And then there is this grow. Those are at least the three Marmikimis. So there are other Marmikimis too, but I think that's the. There's the Gra brings them both. I don't know if he brings a Bach.
Is your name is Ron or something? Everybody's talking about this Ron. I don't know.
The Ritva. They talk about the Ritva. The Gra quotes the Ritva. Right. The Gra quotes the Ritva. The Ritva Natur. Okay. So this is. We'll have to look this up tomorrow. That we'll have to, I think the starting place is the tour with the Bach, and then the Shach and the Gra. I don't know. You know, I don't.
Did Rebbe say a reading without the Gra? I just sorry. Did Rebbe say a reading without the Gra? The Rebbe's mashal like the Gra adds on these words. Is there a reading without the Gra?
Yeah, without the Gra, you would say the Gemara means Eda Pshita Shetaktach Abafaneinu, and it's a case of Shasak. But then, what's the Gemara's right?
It's even worse.
Yeah, but even
it's
worse.
Also,
what was the Gemara's Raya? We never had a suffix in there. That was there's no room for a suffix.
So that's Rashi.
The Grum made it. Like I said before the Grum, like that's what I'm saying. It's even worse. I don't like Rebbe's saying like the Grum made okay. It. Like,
but that Rashi is saying that the case has to be the Shasik v'Hodot Tzavach.
Okay, done. yeah, but how does Rashi know? Rashi doesn't tell you. Oh, I have to read the okay, we should read the Rashi. You're right. But the question is on Rashi, how does the Gemara know? Maybe that's not the case, and then there's no raya.
What would the case be?
Maybe the case of that it was Shasar.
That would be Pshita.
So that would be what the Gemara said, Pshita.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know. Is it an amaisa? You see, the grow is bothered by this kasha. So apparently, that's not such a good answer.
And because the Gemara,
I'm not sure. Just because the Gemara says that Rabbi Zeira would never have such an aboy, I don't know whether it means that a Brisa can't say it. I don't know. Claw them in Brises. You know, the Rabbi Zeira would have been a boy, but it could be a Brisa could say it. Okay, we'll have to see. Let's wait. This is where. So if Denise had it tomorrow, I'll try and send it to you, the Bach, just in case, make life easier for you. The Bach and the Shach with the Gra.
It's hard to hear it wouldn't be Pshita, because the case of where Odui Odi is where they come and they take it away from you. Saying
if
they
okay, come, but the nice of the Gra asks this Kashi, he doesn't give the answer of Pshita. So I don't know. You made a question, why didn't the Gra answer that?
Well, I guess we're going to see that there's going to be a big machlokas here. So that's
okay. Yeah. Okay, that's right. We just read the Gemara. We didn't really get our feet wet. But this is where the discussion is. Really, this is the end of the Gemara as far as the issue for the Gemara. But most of the Torah now is in the Svarim and the Risha. So that's where we'll see. Be'eshem, we'll try tomorrow. We'll try to look at the Bach. I think first the Bach and then the Shach. Okay, I'll send it to you. Be not there. Try and send it soon.
Abi, okay, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I noticed that the Nebuka Yosef on the first line, he unlike Rashi, who says Kodim Shen Nishbu, he says Kodim Shen Nishba. I'm wondering whether that would go against, could that potentially be a riot against Aaron Hertzberg's Mahal? Because If only he takes a shul and the other guy didn't take a shul, yes, and then there's no psak yet.
I don't know. Maybe there's a psak on his half. So even on Aaron Hertzberg, there'll be a psak for him, not on the other guy. You know, Talis has two halves. So once he's nishba, he gets a psak that he gets half, and the other half is still up for grabs. So you could probably still say Aaron Hertzberg shot. But it's a very nice diak. I happen to like the diak. In other words, what you're saying is a very nice observation is that the Nemuga Yosef, I always get, what is Rashi Arif saying? Does he say anything? No, there's a very
he
nice,
says the same as Rashi, I think. He says Nishbu.
Yeah. I'm trying to look. Kodesh and Nishbo, I see. Okay, it's a very nice dig because you know I happen to like doing this kind of yukim. It's just I don't want to say fun, but it's nice to yukim when you see how Rishonim, their medayik, and the Nemuga Yosef almost always quotes Rashi verbatim in the beginning of the sugya. But yet, sometimes he makes minor changes, and probably he does it on purpose. So I think you're right. He probably dropped the vav on purpose because he says you don't need that they both should swear as long as one of the guy, as long as this guy swore, it's good enough. So that's a very nice diak. Now, what does Rashi hold? Does Rashi hold that you do need both swearing, or it's just Rashi just like Rav Dafka because the norm is that when one, you know, so I don't know. I'm not sure if there's a machlekes or just a demugay. I say wrote it so that for the sake of clarity, but it is a good, you know, but I assume you're right. That's what the demugay is trying to do. He's trying to point out that don't be misled to think you need both of them to swear. As long as one swore, that's good enough. Yeah, that's probably right. Okay, it's a good idea. I like it. Okay, I should kayak everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.